This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Temple Smith had romantic notions about what it would be to be a monk. He liked the idea of going deep into his meditation practice, also the tranquility he imagined he would find at a monastery. And so,
a few weeks after turning 30, I got on a plane for Burma.
He moved to Burma and became a celibate Buddhist monk. From One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, we bring you A Taste of Sex, a reality audio show about real people and their exploration of conscious sensuality. This week, the life of a former Buddhist monk and his relationship to sex. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on. In going to be a monk, were you conscious? Were you thinking about the fact that you would essentially be giving up your sexual self while you were there?
Yeah, I knew that in advance. And actually, that wasn't a big sacrifice for me. Up to that point, I'd been in a few sexual relationships, and I did love the challenge and the intimacy, but I also found them very complicated.
What was it like when you got to the monastery?
Monasteries were very different than I had imagined. One, they're over in Asia compared to being in the United States, and so there's the background of being in a totally different country with totally different customs, a different language, different standards of living. Once you close your eyes and start feeling your own breath, it doesn't really matter where you are. There's no end to the variations of what arises inside. While you're supposed to be feeling your breath, the mind gets very creative, it gets very angry, it gets very sad. You remember all the sad things that have ever happened in your life. You remember all the happy things that have ever happened, all the things that frustrated you, all the things you were curious about. Being over in Asia, my mind wandered a lot to certain practical concerns about the heat and the food, and did I really understand what the Burmese teachers were saying, passing through a translator, and did they understand what I was saying, and was I meant for that level of intensity of practice? One place that the mind goes a lot, for most people, is sexual desire.
What was it like to feel sexual lust at a monastery where I assume there were mostly, if not all, men?
You were coached to guard your senses so that if you saw a woman walk by and you felt some attraction, that right away you would go to the fact that this is a visual image that I'm desiring, and that desire may be causing craving, and that craving could cause clinging. So right away, as soon as you see a woman, especially a woman you feel at all attracted to, you very quickly shift to be extremely careful around that visual experience.
So how was it for you to know, I mean, to have women there, but to know that you're forbidden from even putting any of that energy out?
It was confusing. You know, I definitely understood the teachings and quotes from the Buddha through the tradition that I have, Theravada, that were, for the most part, very skeptical around sexual desire. And then I have my own beliefs from my own culture that says that it's not that bad, that it's actually healthy. And so in our sort of post 70s liberal culture that I grew up in, there's a lot of celebration of sexuality and people trying to come out of social repression around sexuality. So it was very confusing.
Falling ill with a disease called chronic fatigue syndrome, Temple could no longer sustain the rigors of 14 hours of meditation a day. After 1 year in Burma, he left and returned to the United States. What was it like for you coming out of the monastery? Did you, and I mean this especially in terms of your sexuality, did you feel a sense of freedom? Like, oh, okay, now I can go explore this. Like, had there been a sense of waiting, or was it something that you slowly came into?
one friend that I had actually done some practice with, some of the monastic practice with, we had a little romantic connection, and we tried sort of exploring the possibility of being in relationship. And right away I seized up with a lot of fear that how could I have worked that hard for my own enlightenment and gotten back involved in sexuality and started to feel the amount of desire and agitation and processing we had to do and the possibility of upset. And it started to seem like, yeah, this is a very difficult field. And that relationship, for other reasons, didn't last. I kept traveling, she kept traveling, and I traveled for a couple of years after that. So I wasn't in any one place long enough to have a long-term relationship.
He ended up settling in California, teaching teens, and leading retreat weekends. This is a friend of his, Justine.
I've known Temple, oh, it's been almost 5 years. When I first came to California, I met Temple as part of a circle of young adult Dharma practitioners, originally through the Buddhist Peace Fellowship. He'd been back from Burma for a few years, but still was involved quite intensively in the Dharma. And at that point, hadn't started looking at his sexuality. Back then, Temple was really, the word that comes to mind is demure. Like, he really had that quality of his energy was very contained. He was really nice. But underneath that, he actually was very controlling. And he really didn't have a sexual presence at all. You know, he was that person that, like, all women can feel comfortable around Temple because, you know, he's just not sexual in any way. So he's completely non-threatening. And I think he really learned to play that role well, to be someone who could be a facilitator. I knew him. He facilitated a group I was in, and he could, you know, be that facilitator that's kind of like almost androgynous.
You're listening to A Taste of Sex. We'll hear more from Temple Smith and how he found his way into sensuality after this short break.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
You're listening to A Taste of Sex. For 6 years, chronic fatigue took its toll on Temple.
It felt like my body and mind had gotten very out of balance. I'd be extremely tired during half the day and then very restless and agitated during the other half. And my mind felt very confused. My body would be sore and restless. I wasn't sleeping well, but I'd be tired all day. One of the things that I had noticed was that when I had been sexually active, my body actually felt really good. I had two friends at the same time get involved in the work that's offered at One Taste, and they liked it a lot. And they suggested I tried it, and I was worried that I didn't have the energy or the health to try it, but I decided I'd at least go to one workshop and see what it was like. I went to the opening course here and found that just after that one day, my body and mind felt a lot better.
I met Temple on that day. It was just after the opening course, the class at One Taste, where students learn about the practice of orgasmic meditation. He looked ecstatic. In the following months, he continued to come around to One Taste and eventually moved into the community. One night, just before he moved in, I commented that he looked really good. "What's happened to you?" I asked. "Lust," he said.
In hindsight, I can understand how One Taste has been so healing for me. But at the time, all I knew is that I felt better and that I needed to feel a lot better. And after a while, I began to see there were tremendous parallels between my celibate monastic practice in the jungles of Burma and this conscious, connective sexual practices done here in this modern urban environment?
It's probably about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I remember I was meeting him and I was walking down the street near the Buddhist Peace Fellowship where he worked, where we both work now. And he was walking towards me and I was like, Temple, is that you? He'd shaved his head, he'd gotten rid of his side part, which was kind of like his signature style, like this 80s haircut. And he was wearing black. And it was like he had muscles where he never had muscles before. Like it was almost like they were representing like externally what was happening internally. It was like all that like softness, which had really been this kind of flaccidness about him, where it was becoming stronger. And then when he approached me and he gave me this hug, it was like his whole body was in the hug. And his whole presence was in that hug. And I could really feel him in my entire body.
After about a year of living at One Taste, Temple moved out to further pursue his meditation studies. But this time, rather than completely shut off his sensuality, he became involved in trying to build a bridge between the Buddhist and One Taste communities. In promoting the idea of using sensuality for awakening, he has become somewhat of a rebel in Buddhist circles. You're now involved in trying to merge these two worlds, trying to merge the world of Buddhism with that of One Taste and conscious sensuality. And I'm wondering how that's playing out for you.
It's fascinating and exciting and feels dangerous. And I think that both communities want the gift of what the other has to offer. But I also see that both sides can be skeptical of the other. And that's something I would like to lend some confidence to, that the meditators I know would gain a lot from the communication and sensual practices that are done at One Taste. And folks I know at One Taste would probably digest their experiences more fully if they had the power that would come through a meditation practice.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. You can find us on the web at personallifemedia.com. For more information about One Taste, including our lectures and workshops on sensuality, relationship, and communication, check us out at onetaste.us. Music on this episode was composed and performed by Aharon Bolsta. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.